wait, there's more.
And now, it's time for the Tri-State Sports Beat with your hosts, Nick Federico, Scott DeBell, and Joe Bruno.
And welcome, everyone, to a little bonus episode here on the Tri-State Sports Beat. Week one of the NFL season has come and arrived, and man, have we needed some football here. Nick and Scott here to preview the Jets and Giants week one matchups in the NFL season. Couldn't be more excited to have some football back. We had a little bit of a college last week, a little introduction, and now as we record this tonight, first game of the NFL season, Chiefs and Texans this evening. I believe fans are actually going to be in attendance, so we'll see how that works.
I think it's like 2,000? I don't know.
I thought it was going to be more. I thought it was going to be like 10 to 20.
I don't know.
Maybe that's the peak at some point.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can.
I'm not really sure about that.
But I know that they were talking about having fans at this game. They will allow 22% capacity, so 16,000 fans.
Yeah, that gives them the real opportunity to really spread things out and not have people too close together and stuff like that. You wish that we could get to full capacity, of course, eventually, maybe by the end of the year, we'll see what happens. But it's good to have fans there right now, especially because it's the Thursday night game. It's the opening game tonight of the NFL season.
You're going to raise the banner.
Yeah, Chiefs, Texans. Just real quick, how you feeling about this game tonight?
I think it's going to be pretty high scoring on the Chiefs' end. I don't really see a lot from the Texans' defense. I think the Chiefs are going to handle the Texans pretty easily, especially no DeAndre Hopkins. I am, kind of intrigued to see how David Johnson does in a new offense. See if he can kind of rejuvenate his career, but I think the Chiefs can win this one pretty handily. Like I said, raising the banner tonight, first game off the Super Bowl championship. I think they're going to come ready to play, and Pat Mahomes is going to have to live up to that all-time highest contract. So I think they're going to come out firing, and hopefully Clyde Edwards-Helaire has a big night.
Yeah, for your fantasy reasons, right?
I have him on two fantasy teams.
I don't.
I also realized that I have Le'Veon Bell on two of my fantasy teams, and I don't know how I feel about that.
I would,
especially this week.
I would not start him this week if you were asking.
Well, I don't know if I have much else. So.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with you about this game on Thursday today. I think the Chiefs just have a lot of firepower. A lot of guys they retained from last year. They gained Clyde Edwards-Helaire, as you said. They're the best team in the AFC, if you ask me, before we start the season. Houston, again, losing DeAndre Hopkins, their defense is nothing real special, but they do add Brandon Cooks, and now Will Fuller's going to have to step into a bigger role. Like you said, you're anxious to see David Johnson. I am, too, a little bit. Yeah, I see the Chiefs really routing at the end. It could be a close game through three quarters, and then the Chiefs just run away with it. I'm not going to have an exact...
I hope we do have a good game for a majority of it, just to get back in the football groove before our pain begins on Sunday.
Sure, and not to mention that, not football related, but the Yankees did win a baseball game last night.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's a miracle.
Hallelujah.
And I saw on Twitter that Clint Frazier said that they were blasting music in the locker room, celebrating like we won a World Series championship. So that's always fantastic.
And something, Aaron Boone said something along the lines of a disco inferno or something like that. Like, what?
What are we doing? We beat the Blue Jays. We didn't win the pennant.
It's better off if Aaron Boone just keeps his mouth shut, because no matter what he says, something weird or something repetitive just comes out of his mouth. But we're not here to talk about baseball. We'll talk about that next week.
Hey, but Garrett Cole tonight, need a win.
Yeah, need a W. Need a W against the O's. So now, let's get to the Giants first. We'll leave the Jets for last. Giants taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers at MetLife Stadium to cap off the doubleheader of Monday Night Football. I'm not a huge fan of these doubleheader Monday Night Football games, because usually the last game is at like 10 o'clock, and even the diehard football fans fall asleep, at the 10 o'clock game. But
I also don't understand why the Giants got slotted into Monday Night Football. I kind of do.
I heard something about this yesterday, that it's the two owners, two of the original clubs of the NFL, the two of the oldest teams, the Rooneys and the Maras. I don't know, something like that. It's just good for ratings, good for ESPN, because they're putting together. I think they have a completely new Monday Night Football team, if I'm not mistaken, on the broadcast.
Yeah, I don't know which team is doing the the early game, but I think Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit are doing one of the games Monday
college,
night.
The college football team, huh?
I think so.
That'd be kind of cool. That'd be an
just because there's not much else, you know, on. I don't think they have an ESPN. I don't know if they have an ESPN like primetime game.
Yeah.
Saturday night, so. They might because Clemson plays, I think, Saturday night, so maybe they're doing that game. I don't know.
That'll be an interesting thing to see. But for the Giants on Monday night, the return of Big Ben for the Pittsburgh Steelers, along with James Conner, Juju, James Washington coming off a good year last year. You know, I don't know how Big Ben's going to, you know, feel going into week one. Didn't play the entire, basically the entire year last year. But this defense of Pittsburgh is pretty impressive. Stephon Tuitt, Hayward, T.J. Watt on the line, and then you got Bud Dupree and Devin Bush and the linebackers, and then their defensive backfield is awesome too. Joe Hayden, Terrell Edmonds, Minka Fitzpatrick, they're a pretty elite defense. They're, you know, if you're a fantasy football person, which we are, you're picking their defense within the top three. You know, they're the top three defenses supposed to be in fantasy this year. So a tough, very tough test for Daniel Jones, Joe Judge, and the Giants going into Week One primetime football. Not feeling too great about this one. Got to be honest. You know, new head coach, new regime, new system and stuff like that for second-year quarterback Daniel Jones. Again, we talked about last week about how nobody talks about how the Giants may have lack thereof weapons, you know. The questions around Evan Ingram, Darius Slayton going into year number two. And I just think this is a really, really tough test for week one for the Giants. I don't see them winning this one. I think the Steelers win this one soundly. I think the game is probably over by the third quarter, honestly.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the biggest thing for the Giants in this game is going to be to jump on the Steelers early, especially on, you know, the Giants' defensive end, because Ben Roethlisberger has also come out and said, or already come out and said this preseason, that he's kind of nervous about the first couple plays just coming back in and coming off. He had Tommy John, didn't he? I know he had an elbow injury, but I don't know if he specifically had Tommy John, but... Mm-hmm. He did say that he's a little nervous about getting those first few plays out of the way, you know, hasn't played in an entire year. And
he's old.
And he doesn't have, you know, the triple B's or the killer B's or whatever they used to call it with Le'Veon, Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger. Mm-hmm. The thing that Ben Roethlisberger does have, you know, in his favor is a fantastic offensive line. You look at Marquise Pouncey, or whichever Pouncey, is it Mike Pouncey or Marquise Pouncey?
You're right.
Okay, because the other one used to be on the Dolphins, correct? And then I don't even know if he's in the league anymore.
I believe he is.
Army alum, Alejandro Villanueva.
One of the best great, left tackles fantastic. In the league.
He's fantastic.
He is.
The fact that he used to play wide receiver is honestly mind-blowing. he's probably the tallest guy that's ever graced. Never mind, they probably had some tall basketball players, but off that point, he has a fantastic offensive line. It's just going to be important for the Steelers this year to not go through a quarterback carousel, I think. You know, they went through Duck Hodges last year, Mason Rudolph. They had that whole Myles Garrett situation. And, you know, people – you want to talk about Ben Roethlisberger's weapons, especially in this game. I think it's going to be very important to get Juju involved because they've been saying that Juju has not had a very good training camp so far. He's been kind of quiet. So, you know, I think for the Giants, like I said, it's going to be very important to – you know, get a very quick start. You know, Joe Judge's first game as an NFL head coach. Daniel Jones rebounding from, I would say, an average rookie year. You know, showed – it was kind of like Sam Darnold. Showed a lot of, you know, promise, but also, you know, had those rookie flaws, the fumbling issues, obviously. And then Saquon Barkley, I think it's very important for him to, you know, get in a groove with this offensive line. We talked about it in our last episode with potentially the rookie tackles of Andrew Thomas and Matt Peart. It's just going to be very important for this offensive line to gel for both Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley.
Right. And the thing, the flip side of it too, is this Giants defense against the, you know, this offense that we've talked about against Pittsburgh, this Giants defense is absolutely the weakness of this team.
And 100%.
This is why I'm saying that the game might be over before the third quarter, even at halftime. I mean, the Giants have to hang in there offensively, and I just don't know if they have the offensive line, for one, and the weapons to do so, to hang in with a team like Pittsburgh. I just think this defense is going to create a couple turnovers, Pittsburgh's defense, that is, create a couple turnovers, not necessarily Daniel Jones, but if he, you know, if this fumbling problem of his is to be fixed, he, you know, he's got to show it Monday night against the Steelers. But this Giants defense is just, it's not a good defense. I mean, they'll be lucky if they get Leonard Williams to really step up and be maybe the player that he was supposed to be. Who knows? But, you know, there's no doubt that the Steelers will probably take advantage of a very piss-poor Giants defense, at least on paper. We still have yet to see them play, but it just doesn't look good. The corner depth is not there. You know, they add Logan Ryan, which is good. They have Jabril Peppers, who's basically really underachieved, and that hurts me to say. I love Jabril Peppers, but he's underachieved, to say the least, in his NFL career so far. You know, injuries at linebacker, Blake Martinez is questionable for the game. We'll see what happens. It's just, overall, this Giants defense is not good.
Yeah, and something that I think hasn't been talked about, like, a lot, too, is the fact that Jason Garrett is this team's offensive coordinator. Like, you'd think that coming into the season, that would be a huge talking point. But I feel like, you know, it hasn't been talked about a ton, and I'm, you know, interested to see how he runs this offense. Like we mentioned the other day, too, Jason Garrett is, you know, he had an all-world running back in Ezekiel Elliott in Dallas and still, you know, didn't really pound the rock with him all that often. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested to see, you know, how he runs this offense. Is it going to be a lot of Daniel Jones, you know, dropping back, you know, passing out of the shotgun? Is he actually going to work Saquon Barkley a lot? What kind of trust does he have in this offensive line? And how is he going to use Evan Engram? Because I think you kind of have to be careful with him in the first, you know, early part of the season so you don't, you know, miss him for a significant portion of time because he is so, you know, injury prone through his NFL career so far. Mm-hmm. I think he's a very important, he might be the most important playmaker on this team because we know what Saquon Barkley is and, you know, Evan Engram's kind of that X factor that he needs to stay on the field. So it's going to be interesting to see how Jason Garrett manages, you know, his time and his reps in these first couple games.
Yeah. So quick score prediction. What do you think?
I think the Steelers are going to win 31-13.
I'll have them go. I don't think the Giants even, I think the Giants muster at least 17 points here, but, I'll go 34-17. What the heck? I just think that, you know, going into the second half of this game, maybe Monday night, you know, it is week one. So guys are going to be jacked up to play no matter what, but, again, no fans in the stands is a thing. You know, Giants fans
are in MetLife, right?
Yeah, they are. So the Giants fans are going to be missed in MetLife, and Steeler fans travel really well. So
yeah.
Fans are a non-factor on Monday night, as for most of the teams this year. But yeah, I see this game really being over in the third quarter, and, you know, Giants will move on. They'll start 0-1 in a what's going to maybe a tough, very tough season for Big Blue. All right, our New York football Jets.
Oh, dear.
Going up to Buffalo against the Buffalo Bills. Again, no Bills Mafia, no Jet fans, no Bills fans up in Orchard Park, New York. How are we feeling about this?
I don't know. Every season I always go in with some sort of optimism, like we're going to get a result. And then, like last year where we hit the ground running 16-0 and CJ Mosley gets hurt and it's all downhill from there. And we could have that again this year because Avery Williamson did not practice today. He has a, he felt his hamstring in practice yesterday and didn't go today. So, and Marcus May also, I'm pretty sure wasn't on the field to start practice. So,
I think more of that is just a little more precautionary. I just think,
I freaking hope so. You know,
Avery coming off the ACL, you want to be careful and, you know, you want him to participate, but at the same time, ACL injuries are really tricky sometimes, and you want him to be out there on the field to start week one. Same thing goes for Marcus May. Now a captain on this team, you want your captains to be out there. My thing is, this Jets defense against this new look, well, not completely new look, but a more improved Bills defense. Of course, led by Josh Allen, Devin Singletary has now taken over as a starting running back. They add Diggs. Diggs, John Brown, Cole Beasley. Diggs and Brown on the outside is scary. Really.
Yeah, that could be
this,
bad news.
This has kind of kept me up at night because now considering our corner situation, the Jets corner situation, Pierre Desir, Brian Poole, and Bless Austin, along with guys like Quincy Wilson, Arthur Millette, it's not a ideal situation. Hopefully week one, the Bills kind of struggle. I mean, a lot of teams are going to struggle coming out of the gate. You know, we're not going to see the finished product by any means of any team, you know, this weekend, but hopefully the Bills can maybe get in their own way a little bit. The Jets can take advantage of some opportunities here and get lucky. And the bottom line is, you know, their offensive line not too shabby either. Deion Dawkins, Mitch Morse at center, Cody Ford. They're a pretty decent offensive line, pretty decently put together. But this is an opportunity for the Jets to really get to Josh Allen here. Have to contain him somehow. If you can keep Josh Allen in the pocket and, you know, make him go through his reads and make him think twice, that's a good thing to do. It's a very important thing to do. I think the Jets have the opportunity. This is a golden opportunity for them to get pressure up the middle. So that means 95 has to step up. Quinnen Williams has to be there in the quarterback's face. Steve McClendon, Henry Anderson, all of them. You know, Greg Williams is going to draw some schemes up for Josh Allen. We saw it week one last year. We were up 16-0 for a reason. This defense played great until C.J. Mosley came out. But I think the defense will be okay. I think the over-under is like 39.5 or something, so has it being a little bit of a low-scoring matchup. But the defense is the big thing that has to get to Josh Allen. If they get to Josh Allen and limit this Bills defense from going over the top, I think the Jets can stand and have a chance.
I agree with you. The biggest thing, like you said, is going to be to get to Josh Allen and disrupt him in the pocket. You saw it last year. It was the Texans playoff game. He had a very good game until the end when he, you know, made some mistakes. And that's when they started to get to him. And, you know, he kind of got happy feet in the pocket and started, you know, doing whatever the heck he did. He really looked like a rookie quarterback out there. But this defense, we've said it before, and we're going to say it many more times, is going to have to carry this team to wins, like it was on pace to do last year. I mean, this offense isn't going to be able to put points up, you know, in a huge number. It's just not – that's just not the way that it's set up to be right now. I mean, the fact that Perryman and Mims have both practiced fully the past 2 days, and Gase said today that Mims will absolutely be ready to be on the field on Sunday, is a promising sign. And, you know, hopefully that would be pretty sick going into week one if we have Perryman on one side, Mims on the other, and Crowder in the slot. I mean, We thought we'd have no targets. That's not a bad wide receiver, you know, starting wide receiver core there. But I think that's always been the case with the Jets. They have good starters, but not, you know, fantastic depth. You look at the depth behind him, Chris Hogan. I mean, Braxton Berrios, I think, can offer something. He's looked like a decent player. But, I mean, Moncrief was just added to the practice squad IR today after we signed him a week ago. Wonderful. But they also just signed some wide receiver to the practice squad. I saw a video on Twitter of him jumping over a corner and making a one-handed catch. So they also signed Alec Ogletree, which I don't know how much he can contribute or what his status is.
He's on the practice squad right now. They signed him to the practice squad. So he's familiar with Greg Williams when he was with the LA Rams a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. There is some continuity there. There is some familiarity. Who knows? Alec Ogletree couldn't make it with the Giants, so who knows, really?
Yeah. It was just like a name that jumped off, you know.
It's a popular name. You know, that's famous around, not famous, but that's well known around the league. But now we switch to the offense. Again, I'm looking at this Bills defense and scary, a little scary here. Vernon Butler, Ed Oliver, Jerry Hughes off the edge. Again, a first time offensive line in the Jets, too, that are going to be playing their first real game together, led by our behemoth of a left tackle, rookie Mekhi Becton. It's going to be a real test for Mekhi. So I can already see it now. We're going to watch the game on Sunday, right? Mekhi's going to get beat, and we're going to be like, oh, shit, here we go again. I can see it now.
It's going to be like when Ashton Davis gets a pick six.
Oh, believe it. Oh, I believe it. I forgot to say that. Ashton Davis is the absolute X factor in this game, if he gets any playing time at all, which I anticipate that he will. But this new offensive line group for the Jets, a tough test, to say the least, a little bit for week one, coming right out of the gate. And then, of course, we're not looking forward, but they have to play the Bills this week. But looking forward, week two, going up against the San Francisco 49ers at home, two very tough early tests for this offensive line.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, oh, dear is right. So Mekhi will probably be going up against Jerry Hughes this week and then Nick Bosa the next week. So gonna see what we have in good old number 77 on the left side. But as for the rest of the offensive line, we were shocked that George Fant was named the captain this week.
Yeah.
Shocked about that. That must say a lot about him.
the players voted, so, you know, they must see a lot in him.
Exactly. And then this new offensive line, you know, one guy returning from last year and Alex Lewis, and then you have Connor McGovern, Greg Van Roten. I'm kind of nervous about what we're going to see on Sunday as far as this offensive line goes, but I'm not going to overreact because it's a new group, new season. It's going to take a while for this team to gel completely. Once week 5, 6, 7 comes around, then, you know, I'll get a little more heated. But it's week number one. These guys are completely new group, completely have never played with each other before. So we'll see what happens. And then, do you want to say something about the offensive line before we move on?
Yeah, I honestly think that their cohesion's not going to be that bad. I mean, you look at the preseason for the training camp that they've had so far, I think there's something, you know, some weight to be put on the fact that these guys literally lived in dorms pretty much the entire
they lived in the hotel.
Training camp.
They lived in the hotel, right?
Yeah. Credit to Christopher Johnson for, like, renting that entire thing. Like, they've been together for, like, a month and a half already. Yeah. Like, and, you know, even before then, they talked about, you know, how they, like, talk in group chats all the time. And, like, Connor McGovern and Van Roten, I'm pretty sure, said, like, this is one of the closest offensive line groups he's, you know, they've ever been a part of. And it's not even week one yet. Like, I think that their cohesion, you know, isn't going to be too bad. And, you know, I can already see this happening. Everyone talked about how Van Roten and McGovern, they didn't commit any penalties when they were, you know, on the Panthers and the Broncos. Guarantee you, play number one, no. Greg Van Roten is going to get, like, a holding penalty. He's going to jump offside or false start, and we're going to be like, well, he's now part of the Jets. So no penalties out the door.
I don't know about play number one, but I could totally see
this
that
is
happening.
The New York Jets we're talking about.
Okay, you have a point. Point proven.
Mekhi Becton's going to get, like, a holding, a chop block, and a full start on the first drive, and we're
then we're going to rip him the next day. Poor Mekhi. Yeah.
Put Ashton Davis at left tackle. He's an all-world athlete.
He can do everything, this guy. But now we move to the wide receivers against this loaded corner room of the Buffalo Bills, led by this guy just got paid big money, Tre'Davious White, probably definitely a top 5 corner in the league, if not top 3 at this point. Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, and Josh Norman. Totally forgot Josh Norman was on the Buffalo
Bills. He hasn't practiced at all this week, and he was also did not practice today.
Yeah,
so
he's questionable for the game right now.
Yeah, I don't know what his status is going to be.
But even if healthy, we didn't know what kind of player Josh Norman for the Bills was going to be, really. But
probably be a stud, let's be honest.
Well, yeah, let's be real. At least for 1 week. Right?
Yeah,
but
2 weeks.
But this Jets wide receiver group, this is the group we've talked about all offseason long, and now the time is finally here. These guys are mostly going to be healthy. Perriman, Mims, Hogan, back Braxton Berrios, Jamison Crowder, Chris Herndon, too, at tight end. If I hear one excuse out of Adam Gase's mouth postgame, if they lose, that we weren't healthy, or, you know, the guys didn't pick it up or whatever, I'm not having it. I'm not freaking having it. These guys should have it down already. I know the limited time in training camp. Totally understand the circumstances, but this group has to get off to a fast start. Like, we make fun of Adam Gase all the time, and rightfully so. First 2 or 3 drives are perfect. Scripted plays are perfect. So I anticipate the Jets going down the field, at least getting in field goal range, and scoring some kind of points on their first or second drives. They have to do it. They have to consistently go down the field and score points on multiple drives. You can't go score, like we saw this too many times last year. They go up the field in their first drive of the game, they either score a touchdown or kick a field goal, and then 3 and out, punt, you know, interception, fumble return. You know, they're just anemic on offense for the rest of the game. We cannot have this. Second year of Adam Gase's offense, we cannot have this. I'm already getting pissed already because I already know what's going to happen.
He's a quarterback whisperer.
Oh my god! Yeah, just like like Brian Cashman's a locker room whisperer.
But you know what's coming, you know, and we weren't healthy this entire training camp. But, you know, Denzel Mims has only run routes for 3 days in training camp, and he's already out here as our second wide receiver.
Stupid
you
ass.
Know it's coming.
I know.
You know what's coming.
I know, but.
And then everyone's going to overreact. Oh, dear. We're going to have to draft Trevor Lawrence, number one overall. Sam Darnold's a bust. Get Le'Veon out of here. Or have Le'Veon play left tackle, right tackle, center, left guard, right guard. Friggin' split him out wide. Like,
Listen, I'm going to try my best not to do that. I do not buy the whole Jets getting Trevor Lawrence this year. I don't want that. I don't buy that. It's not that I wouldn't want Trevor Lawrence. It's that Samuel has been my guy since day one before we even drafted him. I didn't, you know, at the time we were like, well, there's no way we're getting this guy. Samuel is my guy from day one. I don't care. This is our quarterback.
Do you think that if this is like going back 3 years, but do you think if the Jets drafted Baker instead of Sam Darnold, that Baker would have had a longer string than Sam?
Well, it's hard to say because would the Jets have gotten out and traded for Odell or gotten, you know, and stuff like that?
No, probably not. Probably but not. Like, so everyone was, you know, hyping up Sam as the best quarterback since like Andrew Luck coming out of the draft, and he was the best quarterback in the draft class, and
I don't know.
Baker really didn't have that.
I really didn't think. I think Baker had more of that pressure because he was picked number one, and nobody like expected it, except for people inside the Browns. So once Baker was selected number one, more pressure was on him already than Sam Darnold instantly, and people.
But he didn't have the expectations coming in.
That's true.
That Sam did.
That is also true.
Like, there's no like. It's like, this is Baker's year. Like, you don't hear that. Like, no. You only hear, oh, like, Sam Darnold has to prove himself this year.
Yeah. Maybe it's because Baker has the help around him where he should be good. And people maybe people don't expect Baker Mayfield to be that quarterback that elevates his team. I think no matter what weapons they have, I think people that aren't Jet fans that, you know, that don't watch this team year in and year out, I think analysts and so-called, you know, professionals think Sam Darnold is the quarterback that can elevate his team to the next level no matter what weapons you put in front of him. And that's just not the case. Like, and I'm willing to admit that Sam Darnold's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Joe Montana. He's not Tom Brady. Let's just put it out how it is. Sam Darnold needs weapons, effective weapons on the offensive line and, you know, wide receivers to help him out, especially considering that this coach is a moron. I mean, he is. He is. This offense is it's complicated for a younger group of players. And if the Jets get down to it and they get good at it, great. But it's a complicated offense. We've heard this around the league. Adam Gase's offense are very complicated. There's a reason Peyton Manning flourished in it. Complicated offense. Smartest quarterback to ever hit the field. But, I don't know. That's a really good question I've never really thought of before. But, I don't know. Sam was our guy week one. You know, Sam was our guy from day one, and I said it once, and I'll say it again. This is the guy we have to stand by. This is the guy I will stand by. I'm not going to go at the end of the season if we're if we only won three games in the first 10 weeks, we're not tanking for Trevor Lawrence. I'm not doing that. I'm just not. And now if Sam's playing bad individually, then that's a different story that we might have to talk about. But if Sam is playing well, but these weapons and stuff are just not getting it done, and Gase is just drawing up plays that aren't just mind-boggling stupid, then, you know, I'm sorry, but like, I know I give Sam a lot of benefit of the doubt sometimes, but look at what he hasn't had around him.
I mean, I agree with you. It's just, you know, everyone's putting so much pressure on Sam this season. You don't really hear that on the Baker side, so.
No, you don't. You don't at all. And which is weird because the Browns have been worse for longer than the Jets have. And there were so many expectations last year surrounding the Browns. Super Bowl aspirations surrounding the Browns last year.
Oh, dear.
You didn't hear that about the Jets last year.
No.
Yeah, we heard playoff aspirations, sure. But people had the Browns going to the freaking Super Bowl last year. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that's crazy.
There is definitely pressure on Baker, for sure. But, you know, as we go into week one here, we can't start blaming the quarterback again. You know, and especially because Sam Darnold statistically, I know it's by a very small margin, has been statistically better than Josh Allen, and he's played two less games. So there.
And the Jets went 7-6 with Sam Darnold as the quarterback last year, and whatever the heck, they went 0-3 last year without him.
Exactly. So, score prediction time.
This is tough.
Over under 38, 39.5 or something like that?
I think it will be low scoring.
39.5 is the over-under.
I don't know. See, my heart really wants to pick the Jets to win, but I... I'll go with 24-17 Bills.
Okay. I'll go with...
I think it will be close, though, because, you know, I think there is some... You can put some sort of weight on the fact that no one's played any preseason games. Worse teams are going to be able to compete with the better teams, like, early on.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, from what I've seen last year, I have no reason to doubt what Greg Williams can do. Because I think it's easier to prepare a defense than it is to prepare an offense.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Greg Williams can freaking throw crap at the fan and make it look good. Like,
pretty much.
I mean, that's pretty much what our defense is. But I think he can find ways to make Josh Allen, you know, kind of uncomfortable in the pocket. I mean, if Marcus May doesn't play, I think we're also very screwed. Because I think he could be the biggest X factor on this defense. Because... he's filling in for one of the best players we've had in our franchise for the past however many years, like,
right.
If not the best. Like, he needs to fill those shoes, and, you know, things coming out of camp has, you know, shown that he can show some of those traits and fill that void. So I fully trust Greg Williams. I just don't know if I trust our head coach to put points on the scoreboard.
What did you say, 24-17?
Yeah.
See, we'll be a little similar there. I'll go 27-17. I think the Jets are capable. I think they'll put up points in their first couple drives. I think they're
scripted plays, fantastic.
Fantastic, of course. I think it's going to take a little bit for this Buffalo defense to get, you know, to get going. It's week one. Every team's going to struggle coming out of the gate a little bit in some aspect. I think the Jets take advantage of that a little bit. We get all hyped, right, that the Jets have scored some points on their first drive. And we're like,
well,
all
how
right,
many?
We're gonna. Well, go ahead.
How many opening drives did the Jets score on last year?
I feel like
it was a majority of them.
A bunch.
Either a field goal or touchdown. I mean, the last year, I'm pretty sure we scored a touchdown on our first drive for the first time in like 3 years.
Pretty much.
And that's that. You can give credit to Adam Gase for that. After that, it's all downhill.
Sure, sure. That's why I'm saying the Jets will score on their opening drive. I'm not gonna guarantee.
He's had 6 months to prepare this script.
Yeah, exactly. To rewrite.
A little flea flicker action.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, it worked last year.
Bumble Rooski.
The Miami Miracle or whatever.
Wildcat.
Yeah. I mean, they do. I mean, if they did sign Mohamed Sanu, which I don't think they're going to end up doing, but hey, whatever.
I'm surprised he hasn't been signed yet.
I don't know. Yeah, I know. Me too. But I'm going to say 27-17.
Brad Smith.
Yeah, Brad
Bring
Smith.
Back Brad Smith.
Oh, I think where has Brad Smith been?
Like, who knows? Not in football anymore.
He's pretty old now. I don't know.
Reinventing the Wildcat.
Oh, yeah. Tremendous. Bring back Tim Tebow.
We all know where he is.
I don't think he's playing for the Mets anymore.
I think they cut him.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm going to go...
minor leagues, so...
Yeah, I'm going to go 27-17. I think the Jets will score on their opening drive and then put a couple of drives, and then, you know, we'll get all confident. We'll be like, oh, man, we're beating the Bills right now. And then the Jets offense goes out, and they slowly start crapping the bed, you know, with good drives, right? But don't end up in points. They get stupid penalties. I guarantee you some of these offensive linemen, first game together, there's going to be mistakes, there's going to be penalties.
Freaking Sam Ficken misses a kick here and there.
Of course, naturally. And then I just think Buffalo is going to catch up quicker than the Jets. I think Diggs might go for a long touchdown. I'm just going to, you know, just one. I'm not going to say maybe three or four. I'm going to guess one. I think the Bills have way too much speed on the outside with John Brown and Diggs now. And don't count out Cole Beasley either, because the Bills are going to probably want to spread the Jets out, and then Cole Beasley's going to come up the middle because he's a very good slot receiver. Yeah, 27-17 Buffalo. Jets start 0-1, and then they have to host the defending NFC champions week two. So
great. Yeah. I ask is they keep it competitive.
We're not even going to ask for a win. We're just going to ask for competitive football.
I mean, I'd love that.
Oh, of course. We'd all love
that. Imagine if they win. Oh, dear.
1-0 going into San Francisco.
Super Bowl! Go to the Super Bowl!
But hey, we're Jet fans. We're hopeful. We're going to win on Sunday.
We're going to be sick.
I'm going to wave my towel at home.
We're sick.
Because we're not at the stadium. I'm going to wave my towel, and we're going to support this team through and through. And then we're going to come on here the next day or two, and we're going to scream and yell about how they didn't do this and didn't do that. So
correct.
Yeah. So, according to our calculations, our predictions, both New York football teams We'll start 0-1. So that's that. That's really
beginning
it.
Beginning of a long season, probably.
Yeah, unfortunately. All right, so that is our preview for the Jets and Giants Week 1 matchups. Thank God football is finally here. And we get some tonight with the Chiefs and the Houston Texans. All right, everybody. Well, thank you for listening to this bonus episode of the Tri-State Sports Beat. Our picks will be available on our social media, so follow us there at TSSBpod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. That's where our picks will be. The beginning of this segment where we previewed will be on the podcast, so you can get that on all your podcast platforms that you love and enjoy: Spotify, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Radio.com app, Overcast, wherever you listen to your glorious podcasts. Thank you all so much for listening, and we will see you next week as we will talk New York sports through and through. We will review what happened to the Jets and the Giants, as well as the Yankees, Mets, and everything else. So see you guys next week.